Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. Thank you for listening to our broadcast this morning. We also have a TV program that airs right after this broadcast from 8 to 8:30 on Public Access Channel number 6, entitled The Message of Truth. Please give it a look. We also want to encourage you to come and check out our website, churchofchrist@harrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. We also want to invite you to our services at the Harrisburg Church of Christ, and we'll give you those times at the end of this broadcast, and we hope you'll take the opportunity to come and study and to worship God with us. Our only desire is to help you understand your need for God in your life and His Son, Jesus Christ. And we want to help you in any way that we can to endeavor to show you through the pages of His Word how that relationship can begin and how it can be sustained throughout your life. This month, we have been looking at pattern theology. And all we're meeting is patterns. The Bible has patterns in them. Are those patterns to be followed, or are they just suggestive? There are many in the religious world, and unfortunately, the majority, that think that patterns have no validity today. The patterns given in the Bible are really of no great importance, that they don't need to be followed, they don't need to be adhered to, that we can change them, alter them, amend them, even not even consider them in doing things religiously in service to our God. But again, we have demonstrated through many examples thus far that God gave patterns. And when those patterns were given in different aspects that we've examined, we have seen that God extended for those patterns to be honored by being followed according to His instruction. We're going to look at one more Old Testament pattern this morning, and then we're going to turn our attention to the New Testament. We're going to look for just a moment at the pattern for the temple. In the temple, we read of the pattern, and we read this in 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse number 11 through 13. 1 Chronicles 28, verse 11. The scripture says, "Then David gave his son Solomon the plans for the vestibule, its houses, its treasury, its upper chambers, its inner chambers, and the place of the mercy seat, and the plans for all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord, and all the chambers all around, of the treasuries of the house of God, and of the treasuries of the dedicated things. Also for the division of the priests and the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and all the articles of service in the house of the Lord." And then we'll continue reading in verse 19, same chapter, verse 19. "And all this, said David, the Lord has made me to understand in writing, by his hand upon me, all the works of these plans. And David said to his son Solomon, be strong, be of good courage, and do it, and do not fear nor be dismayed. For the Lord, your God, my God, will be with you. He will not leave you, nor will he forsake you, until you have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord." Now notice, David gave Solomon, his son, the material and the blueprint for the temple. The temple would replace the tabernacle. And those blueprints were given to Solomon in order that he might construct the temple. Now, if you read back in 1 Kings chapter number 8, that he builds the temple, and he built it exactly according to the instruction that God had given him. And we read in 1 Kings chapter 8, beginning in verse number 54, "And so it was, Solomon had finished praying all this prayer and supplication to the Lord, that he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. Then he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel, according to all that he has promised. There was not failed one word of all the good promises which he had promised through his servant Moses. May the Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us nor forsake us, that we may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. And many and made these words of mine with the Lord. I have made supplication before the Lord, be near the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel. And each day may require that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no other. Let your heart therefore be loyal to the Lord your God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments as this day. Then the king of Israel with him offered sacrifices before the Lord. And Solomon offered sacrifices, the peace offerings, which he offered to the Lord, 72,000 bulls, 120,000 sheep. So the king and the children of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. On the same day, the king consecrated the middle of the court that was in front of the house of the Lord, for which he offered burnt offerings, grain offerings, the fat of the peace offerings, because the bronze altar, which was before the Lord, was too small to receive the burnt offerings and the grain offerings and the fat of the peace offerings. At this time, Solomon held a feast with all Israel with him, a great assembly from the entrance of Hamath to the brook of Egypt before the Lord our God, 7 days and seven more days, 14 days total. On the eighth day, he sent the people away, and they blessed the king and went to their tents joyful and glad of heart for all the good that the Lord had done for his servant David, for Israel and his people. Now, if you continue reading in the text, you'll see that God took up residence in the temple. He overshadowed it just like he did in the days of Moses when the glory of the Lord overshadowed the tabernacle that they could not enter. The entrance of the temple, the glory of God in a cloud, covered it where they could not go in, and it was symbolic that God was taking up residence and he was symbolically dwelling with them. But why did he take up that symbolic presence of the tabernacle and of the temple? Because they followed the pattern he gave them. He followed the blueprint and the pattern given by God to David, his father, and David gave them to Solomon, and Solomon followed them to their exact detail. And the temple was just as delicate and just as much a pattern as the tabernacle. It had the furnishings, it had rooms, and it had artistic work, and all those things that were done according to the pattern that was revealed to Solomon by his father David, that was received by David by God. Now all these examples that we have given, beginning with Noah and the ark, Moses had the tabernacle, the book of Leviticus and the work and the sacrifices of the priest, and the failure to follow those patterns of Nadab and Abihu, the Ark of the Covenant and transporting it, and now the temple. What do all these examples sound like to you, ladies and gentlemen? They are patterns, aren't they? Don't they sound like patterns to you? Common sense tells us that if God was so concerned about Noah's Ark, about the tabernacle, about divine worship to him, about the Ark of the Covenant, and the building of the temple, that he gave his people a divine pattern and demanded that they built it according to that pattern, then God would be equally concerned, if not more so, that the Lord's church today, a spiritual house, not a physical house, which his son died for, according to Acts 20 and verse 28, should be built according to his divine pattern. Part of the Holy Spirit's work, ladies and gentlemen, was to reveal God's pattern for man to follow. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17, the book of God says that all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Well, what's it for? It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness' sake, that the man of God may be fully equipped, thoroughly equipped, for every good work. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9 through 13, we read that the Holy Spirit revealed the mind of God, and he revealed it to inspired men who wrote them down in a book and copied them and put them in a book, that we have the instructions and the patterns that are given in the New Testament. But I want you to remember something that was written in the New Testament. In Romans chapter 15, verse 4, we read this statement by the Apostle Paul. Now, whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now notice, why do we have those patterns and examples of Old Testament times as we read and studied? And there are many more that we could have looked at. We could have looked at Saul and his destruction of the Amalekites when he didn't follow the instructions that God gave him. We could look at the walls of Jericho that fell when Joshua followed the instruction that God gave on how to take the city of Jericho. We could talk about King Uzziah, who became a leper because he went into the temple to burn incense, which was a job for the Levite priest, and he was not a Levi and he was not a priest, but he wanted to go in there in 1 Chronicles 26 and give gratitude to God and thanks for the victory that he had just achieved. But the priest tried to stop him, and he just pushed him out of the way, and he forced himself in. And when he did and touched the threshold of the temple, he became a leper. Why? Because it was not authorized. He was not authorized. Why? That was not God's pattern. Now, all these things that we looked at and examined, and some I just mentioned, are patterns given in the Old Testament. And we see one thing consistent about them all, that when they were obeyed, there were blessings. But when they were rejected and disobeyed, there were consequences. And so those patterns were given in the Old Testament in order that they might be followed and that they might demonstrate their love for God, their trust in God, and that they might follow those divine patterns. And when those patterns were not followed, there came severe consequences. Now, those things were written for our learning, and we can learn that by studying the Old Testament, that God had patterns that he gave his people, and those people had a choice whether to follow that pattern or to reject it, and when they did, it came with severe consequences. Now, beginning next Lord's Day in March, we're going to begin to look at the New Testament. Does the New Testament have a divine blueprint given through the revelation of Jesus Christ by his mind, in which the Holy Spirit revealed to his apostles and the inspired writers, and they turned pen and wrote it down under the watchful oversight of the Holy Spirit? Now, this divine blueprint is the authority for what the church ought to be in every generation. I want to leave you with one passage of New Testament Scripture, and we will expound on this next Lord's Day, Lord willing. In Colossians 3, in verse 17, the Scripture says, "And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Now, what we're going to begin to do next week is we're going to examine some examples of patterns in the New Testament. Now, what does God expect his people to do today with those patterns? Are we required by God to do those patterns, to follow those patterns, to follow them in every detail and every prescription that he gave? And when we do that, has God promised blessings? And did God say there would be consequences when those instructions were rejected or not followed? We are going to see as we begin next Lord's Day that there is a consistency in Scripture about patterns. Patterns are given by God for one reason, to be followed and to demonstrate love and trust in our divine obedience to those divine instructions. Please tune in again next Lord's Day as we begin to look at New Testament.